Well, good evening. If you have your copy of the scriptures, turn with me again to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Title of my message tonight is Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. Imagine most of you at some point will spend some time in front of the mirror before you go outdoors. For some of us, it's a good idea. I know when I woke up this morning, I realized I needed to get a haircut, so I took the clippers and evened everything out. When you do, obviously, hopefully you see a familiar sight, at least a little bit. You're checking out your outfit, maybe fixing your hair, or just giving yourself that ready-for-the-day nod. Now imagine that room full of light, like bright light, like a fluorescent LED light. Every corner gets illuminated, and now that mirror is showing you everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Every detail of your appearance, every blemish, every imperfection is laid bare in the brilliance of that light. But then, just like that, the room darkens. The light dims until it's gone, and suddenly the mirror can't show you what it did before. Your reflection becomes a shadow, an outline, a silhouette, if you will. And so those details, those imperfections you saw before, they're hidden away in the darkness. Now, it's the same you, but the truth of your appearance is cloaked in shadows. This image, this scenario, it's a powerful metaphor for our spiritual lives, especially as we navigate through the complexities of everyday life. Now, in our walk with God, light plays a pivotal role because it represents the truth. It represents the clarity and the purity of living a life in close fellowship with our Creator. God Himself is described as light, a light so pure and so intense that no darkness can dwell within it. And just as the light reveals our physical imperfections in a mirror, God's light illuminates our lives, uncovering our sins, our faults, and the areas where we fall short. Now, the passage we're going to dive in today, we're presented with a stark contrast. You have the light of God's truth versus the darkness of sin. It's a passage that doesn't tiptoe around the idea of sin. It plunges us into the heart of the matter, forcing us to confront the reality and the gravity of our own sinfulness. Now, our main takeaway of the passage tonight is clear. To walk in light means to live in honesty and purity before God. It means recognizing our sins, confessing them, and striving towards faithfulness, striving towards righteousness. Now, this isn't just about avoiding bad things, but it's about pursuing a deep, genuine, and a transforming fellowship with God. It's about living in such a way that our lives reflect His light, His truth, and His love. So, as we read 1 John verses 5 through 10 together, let's allow these words to really sink in. Let's begin reading in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here. I pray our hearts would be open. I pray we would seek the illumination of Your word. Lord, shine Your light into our lives. I pray You would reveal the hidden corners where we have allowed sin to linger. Lord, give us the courage to face our sins and the grace to confess them, leaning into Your transforming power. We thank You for Your forgiveness. And as we study Your scriptures this evening, guide us towards a deeper understanding and a closer walk with You. And may we embody the light and love that radiates from a life that's lived according to Your word. We thank You for the promise of cleansing through the Lord Jesus and for the fellowship we find in walking in Your light. Lord, strengthen our hearts as we journey together and as we pursue righteousness. We ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we transition into a deeper exploration of the passage, I want to ponder on a couple of things. The big thing is what it truly means to walk in the light. How does it contrast with the deception of walking in darkness? And how can we as believers navigate the challenges of living out this truth in our Christian life? The first thing, this is my first point, the reality of sin and the necessity of acknowledgement. The reality of sin and the necessity of acknowledgement. So we need to acknowledge that sin is real. John lays it out pretty clear here in verses 5 through 6. He's telling us straight up that God is light. There's not a speck of darkness in Him. Think about that for a second. In a world where we're so used to compromise to instead of black and white, people talk about gray. It's like, well, we're not real sure, so we'll just compromise on that. God is absolute. God is pure. God is light. This isn't just some nice poetic imagery John is laying on us. It's a foundational truth about who God is, and by extension, what we as Christians are called to be. When John says God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, he's drawing a line in the sand. It's not just about intellectual or moral guidance. It's about the very nature of God's purity and truth. And this is a huge contrast. It contrasts sharply with those false teachers John was calling out. That was something that was going on when this letter was being written. They were dealing with apostasy and heresy, and John's calling these people out. These were people who claimed enlightenment. They said that they were walking in the light, but they were actually walking around blind because they refused to recognize their sin. So I want to break it down with an illustration that might hit close to home. Maybe you're wearing a brand new white shirt. Maybe this one, like what I'm wearing, it's fairly new. I bought it a couple months ago, but it looks good, right? But imagine if every time I told a lie, every time I gossiped, or just did something I knew was wrong, a big, ugly stain would appear on this shirt. By the end of the day, how clean do you think that shirt would be? It'd be very dirty. So, walking in God's light is kind of like that. His light reveals every stain, every blemish, our sin, plain as day. But here's the kicker. While we try to hide those stains from others or even ourselves, in God's light, there's nowhere to hide. That might sound intimidating, but it's actually a good thing. And the reason why is because recognizing those stains helps us understand, hey, I need help. I can't get rid of this on my own. And this is where we hit a crossroad of self-deception versus genuine salvation. Denying our sin, pretending like those stains aren't there, doesn't just fool ourselves. It's essentially saying we don't need God. We don't need God's light. It's like claiming to have fellowship with God while stumbling around in the dark. That's not just wrong, but it's spiritually dangerous. So what do we do? Well, first we need to examine our lives. We need to take a long, hard look in the mirror of God's truth and let Him reveal the stains. Then we need to confess those sins, not out of a sense of guilt or obligation, while we should feel guilty when we're in sin, but because we know that in God's light, those sins can be washed away. As Christians, sin should grieve us because it grieves the Holy Spirit within us. And since we've been freed from the penalty of sin, we should be about living in the freedom that comes from being truly clean, from being born again. We are not free to sin. We are free from sin, to pursue life the way God intended as His children. As we move forward, we remember this. Recognizing our sin isn't the end point. It's just the beginning. Confession and repentance. That's how we walk in the light. Even after you get saved, we should have a lifestyle, and I'll talk more about this in a second, a lifestyle that's bent towards confession and repentance every day. It's through God's continual cleansing, His grace and forgiveness, that we can stay in the light. The Christian life isn't about achieving perfection on our own. We'll never be able to do that. But it's about staying close to the One who is perfect, where His light will guide us, where He will cleanse us and ultimately transform us. That brings me to my second point, the cleansing power of walking in the light. Now, when we hear walking in the light, it might bring to mind simply just staying away from bad stuff or making sure we're doing good things, but we're going to unpack this a bit more because it's a lot deeper than that, and it's actually a very beautiful image. In verse 7, we're given a crystal clear picture of what this walk looks like. It's not a one-time decision or something we just do on Sundays. As I said, it's a lifestyle. It's a habit. It's a daily choice to live in the truth and the purity that reflect God's holiness. As I said a moment ago, this isn't about achieving some level of perfection on our own, but in our relationship with God, we recognize He is perfect and we draw closer to Him. We stay close to Him. We walk with Him. And as we walk with Him, His light fills our lives. Think about sunlight. I know it's been kind of sparse today, but have you ever noticed how sunlight has this incredible ability to cleanse, to lift you up? Sometimes I know just in the last few months when it seemed like it took forever to get through January and February because it was just so gloomy and cold and rainy. And I remember when I saw just maybe it was 5 or 10 minutes of sunshine coming through one day, I was just, oh, thank you. I even went outside. I didn't care how cold it was. I was just so happy to see the sunlight. But there was something about that. There's a reason people put things out in the sun to disinfect them, or why we feel better when we're out in the sunshine. And just as sunlight naturally purifies and revitalizes, walking in God's light brings a spiritual cleansing and renewal to our lives. It's not just about avoiding sin, it's about being transformed by God's holiness, allowing His purity to permeate every part of our existence. And so what it boils down to is that God's way is the best way, and any path apart from His is going to bring us the opposite of what we seek. We can only be satisfied in Him. That's why I'm grieved when I hear of people in my own generation. You know how I mentioned this morning, I had a lot of friends that are no longer my friends. I know a lot of young men and women who are deconstructing their faith. I am grieved when I found out my friends that were very close to me, ended up getting a divorce. They hadn't been married, not even a full 5 years. They're getting a divorce, and it broke my heart. They profess Christ. They knew their vows were made not just to each other, but to God, and it was to last their whole life. And it wasn't for and it wasn't for any kind of infidelity or anything. They just got tired of each other. I was like, you're past that point, guys. You can't do that. But we've had people in this community that we looked up to, and I have heroes that have let me down. We've had people in the community that we looked up to that had all the appearance of someone walking in the light, but they're actually walking in the darkness. Guys, I can't emphasize this enough. We need to stay close to the Lord, because the darkness that creeps in and leads us away, that's what gets us into all kinds of trouble. This walk in the light, this habit of living in God's truth and holiness, it's the best evidence of our fellowship with Him. It sets us apart from the world's darkness. It sets us apart from the falsehood and sin. But here's the key. This isn't something we muster up by our own strength. It's a result of God working in us. And since He has forgiven us and cleansed us from sin, we naturally confess and repent of that sin because we love God. It's a daily, moment-by-moment walk that reflects our ongoing relationship with Him. Now you might be thinking, well, that sounds great, but how do I actually live this out? Well, the first thing is, and this is almost like Christianity 101, but we need to immerse ourselves daily in God's Word. That means diving into His Word, spending time in prayer, and surrounding ourselves with a community of believers that encourages us to live in that light. I hope each and every one of you, I know you're here every Sunday, and I know you're faithful. I see the same faithful faces I've seen for over 20 years, and I'm so thankful for that. And I know you need each other. I know you need that fellowship. I know you need that encouragement. Because as things start going crazy around you, we as Christians need to cling to each other more. And keep each other accountable and encourage each other and pray for each other. As we do, the light of the Lord reveals areas in our lives that need cleansing, and we're given the strength to turn away from sin. That doesn't mean we're going to stop sinning altogether. I don't want to make you think that's what I'm talking about. But how much trouble we would avoid if we started our days with the Lord in Bible study and prayer. How much our resolve to be faithful would be strengthened if we did not forsake the assembly of the saints. It's a big deal for us. It makes a huge difference, just us spending time together in the Word. That's why, and I learned this personally in my own life, there were a couple of years after I graduated from Maranatha and after I finished working at Shetek, I had a couple of dark years. You guys wouldn't have known it. I was here teaching Sunday school, but I felt very, very lonely. I felt like I'm not where I should be, like spiritually speaking. And the Lord had to work in my heart. How much trouble I would have avoided if I would have made it more than an intellectual exercise. Does that make sense? Because like I said, I was teaching Sunday school. I was studying, but I was making it more about, oh, I got to hurry up and get this lesson to the soul seekers class, when I wasn't really letting the truth that I was studying work in my own heart. And so this is where it gets really awesome, though. As we walk in the light, as we confess our sins and embrace God's forgiveness, we experience sanctification, our purification. It's like taking a shower after a long, dirty day. I know since I've been working custodial and maintenance at Calvary, I get into some dirty jobs. I did not realize that building when I first started working there had so many toilets. And I had to learn to become a plumber really fast. And some dirty jobs. And so I remember getting home thinking, I got to get cleaned up. I knew when that was all done, I was refreshed, I was renewed, and I was ready to, you know, spend time with my kids and my wife, and they didn't have to deal with that dirty, dingy dad that came home from a rough day of work. But as we move forward, we need to remember that walking in the light isn't just about avoiding the darkness. It's about living in close fellowship with God, that His holiness, His purity, and His truth become defining characteristics of our life. You notice, the more you spend time with people, the more you behave like them. The more time you spend in the Word, studying it, the more it impacts your life. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. I think it was Brother Joe Marks, God rest his soul, he would say, garbage in is garbage out. If you're feeding your mind with, you know, what the world's pushing, what the world's propagating, it's going to impact how you live. And so you need to be getting Scripture in so Scripture can work its way out. It's about letting His light shine through us, transforming us from the inside out and impacting the world around us. So we want to commit to this walk, embracing the cleansing and renewal that comes from living in God's glorious light. That brings me to my third point, the role of confession in walking in the light. Now, I know sometimes when you hear that word confession, we're Baptists, we know what it actually means. But for some people, that word's uncomfortable because it has a very Catholic sound to it. Like you're sitting in a booth, spilling your guts to a stranger. It's not, you're saying things you wouldn't ordinarily chat about with friends. But understanding this concept is like finding a secret passageway that leads to a deeper, more authentic relationship with God. In verse 9, we get this powerful statement about confession. It's not just a casual mention, but it's a cornerstone to our Christian living. John is laying out a fundamental truth here. Continual confession is really a sign of genuine salvation. Now, for the unbeliever, it's crucial because they have to confess their sin. They're acknowledging they're a sinner. But when we're past that point where we've been saved, verse 9 is really just, that should be our lifestyle. Because God saved me, when I mess up, I want to tell Him I'm sorry for it. And I know He's not going to punish me. It says that Jesus has saved us from, our sins have been parted as far as the east is from the west. So why do we do that? Well, it's really for our joy. It's for the sake of our joy. When the passage this morning, verses 3 and 4, it was talking about these things are written so that our joy may be full. So we acknowledge our sinfulness and we agree with God's perspective on sin. It's not a one-and-done deal. We do it out of devotion to the Lord. Repentance and confession, while it's critical for salvation, it's just as important for our sanctification. We want to stay close to the Lord. We want our joy to be full, so we need to be repenting and confessing daily. It's an ongoing process. That's what that's what sanctification is. A habitual practice that brings us into closer fellowship with Him. And so this verse, while I believe it's for the believer and the unbeliever should confess their sin because it demonstrates that they need the Savior to save them from their sins, to reunite them with the Father. But the believer confesses because he has been saved and forgiven, and as a result, when we confess, we are showing that we are sensitive to sin and we are convicted. We've been forgiven, but we confess anyway because it comes natural to us when we sin. We care that we did wrong and we want to let the Lord know that. To illustrate this, imagine your heart is like a room with windows. Over time, those windows will get dirty. Dust, grime, the works. Confession is like opening those windows wide and letting the fresh air and the sunlight flood in. It doesn't just get rid of the stale air, but it transforms the whole room. And really, that's what confession does to our hearts. It's not about shaming ourselves or dwelling on our mistakes, but it's about letting God's light and air cleanse us from the inside out. And sometimes I find myself getting angry or upset about something happening in my life. Maybe it didn't go the way that I wanted. And then I'm convicted by my lack of contentment. You know, I have, unfortunately, more often than not, I have pity parties for myself. And I know I'm sinning because I'm having a lack of contentment in my life. Maybe something didn't go the way that I wanted. But I will confess that sin, and I know I'm forgiven, but that confession brings me back to the reality that God is with me and I need my joy restored. The process of confession isn't just about admitting something we did wrong. It's agreeing with God about what sin is and acknowledging our need for His mercy and cleansing. It's what sets genuine Christians apart from those who, like the false teachers John was talking about, refuse to admit their sin. These folks are like people sitting in a dark, stuffy room. They're insisting that the air is fresh and that the light is bright, but they're missing out on the true light that confession brings. Now you might be wondering, well, what does this look like? How do I live this out? Well, it starts with recognizing that confession, I know this might seem strange because I had to wrestle with this. Confession is not a burden. Confession is not a burden. It's a gift. It's the opportunity to come clean, to be renewed, to be refreshed. And so we need to cultivate a practice of regular confession. It could be in your prayer time as you read Scripture. Or, like I said, if you're feeling convicted of sin, repent right away. Don't let the sin linger. I can't remember who said this, but they said, you should keep a short account of sin with God. That means you are confessing and repenting daily. So basically, the key is making it a habit, like brushing your teeth, or, you know, sometimes most of us check our phone first thing in the morning before we do anything else, and that's sad that we're in that situation now, but we're so technology addicted, it seems to be the case more and more. But this isn't about tallying up sins or living in a state of constant guilt. You know, there's probably today, I bet if we're all honest with ourselves, we probably sin more times than we could count, or more times than we were keeping track of, because as sinners, it comes naturally. We have a sin nature. But it's important to maintain an open, honest relationship with God. It's recognizing that we're sinners in need of His grace and cleansing. That's the difference between us and the lost. We're only sinners saved by grace. Only sinners saved by grace. And we are just in need of His grace and cleansing. And that needs to be our habit, our lifestyle, as we live our Christian life. Now, as we wrap up this point, let's not forget that acknowledging and confessing our sins aren't just items to check off on our spiritual checklist. They're important steps in walking in the light, in living a life that's open to God's transforming power. But there's another side of the coin, understanding the consequences of denying our sinfulness. And that's where the true danger lies, in the refusal to admit and turn away from our sins. So as we move forward, we want to commit ourselves to keeping our windows wide open, letting God's light shine in and through us, transforming us day by day. That brings me to my fourth point, the danger of denying sin. We're looking at what happens when we deny the existence of sin in our lives, according to verse 8. And spoiler alert, it's not pretty. This is about getting real with ourselves and with God and understanding the gravity of calling God a liar by denying our sinfulness. We don't want to beat around the bush. John, in his letter, is addressing a pretty toxic situation. There were folks in his time, there were false teachers who not only walked in darkness, living in sin, but they took it a step further by flat out denying that they even had a sin nature. Imagine that. It's like standing in a downpour insisting you're not getting wet. And John is crystal clear here. This kind of denial is not just wrong, it's a direct affront to God Himself. And why is that? Because denying our sinfulness essentially calls God a liar, since He has declared that all have sinned and fall short of His glory. We know that from Romans 3:23. To paint a picture of this, imagine you've just finished a mud run, and I don't like running, but I've seen some crazy different things people do. There's the color run, and some people go running and hiking through the woods. But you end up getting, if you do a mud run, you're going to be covered head to toe in muck. But then you claim you're perfectly clean. That sounds pretty ridiculous, right? Well, that's essentially what denying our sin does. It's not fooling anyone, least of all God. And it's certainly not doing us any favors. In fact, it's preventing us from experiencing the cleansing we need. Now, here's the deal. When a person denies their sinfulness, it's not just a mistake or a misunderstanding. It's a fundamental rejection of the gospel itself. Remember, the attitude of a Christian is acknowledging the reality of our sin, not denying it. The entire story of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, is centered on seeking and saving sinners, addressing our sin. To deny that we have sin is to deny the very reason Jesus came. It's like saying, we don't need a Savior at all. But here's the truth we need to grasp. While we may feel guilt and shame in acknowledging our sin, it's also about recognizing our profound need for Jesus and the salvation He offers. So the application here, it starts with brutal honesty. We need to examine ourselves. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 11. He's talking to the church in Corinth, and they were a pretty sketchy group of people, but Paul still called them, what do you call them? Saints. Said to the saints in Corinth. And there was some crazy stuff going on there. But he told them, you need to examine yourselves. This is when they were taking the Lord's Supper, and so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation unto yourselves. And so we need to ask ourselves, if we don't have a problem with sin and we don't acknowledge the reality of sin in our lives, are we really saved? We need to ask ourselves that. And we need to be honest with God. Now, I'm not trying to encourage self-flogging or living in a state of constant guilt, but we need to come to our Lord with open hands, admitting our need for His grace and forgiveness. For the non-believer, for the non-Christian, this honesty is the first step towards redemption and true fellowship with Him. And for the Christian, this should be our lifestyle. This should be our lifestyle. So we've talked about some pretty powerful truths that John's laid out for us, what it means to walk in the light. And this isn't just a nice idea or a metaphor for trying to be good people. Walking in the light is about living in the raw, unfiltered truth of God's Word. It's about seeing ourselves clearly, our flaws, our sins, and yes, our need for a Savior. And it's about this incredible life-changing cleansing and fellowship that comes from being in a genuine relationship with God. Here's our call to action. This isn't about hearing a good message, nodding along, and then walking away unchanged. This is about making a commitment right here and now to walk in the light. That means embracing the truth, even when it's hard. I had my moments years ago where I became less sensitive to sin and didn't care that I was disobeying God. And I got to tell you, I hate, and I do have the guilt in my mind every now and I look back there. I was like, I hate that I let that get in. I hate that I let darkness creep in. And I was reminded, I was convicted, I need to be striving for purity, not through my own strength. There was a lot of things I was doing. So I was a busybody. I was a busybody in the church, and I was trying to do things, and I kept on reminding myself, I'm doing the Lord's work. I was like, and stuff got neglected because I thought, well, this is right. I should be, but you know, sometimes I'll be sitting at home and I'll be thinking when my kids are, you know, fighting with each other or playing with each other, most of the time fighting, I'll be thinking to myself, like, I missed out on some important moments because I wasn't paying attention to them, where I could have made a better impression because I was self-centered on myself. But we can't do it in our own strength. We have to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that works within us. And so we regularly confess our sins, not out of a sense of guilt or obligation, but out of a desire to maintain our joy in the fellowship we have with God. You know, sometimes there's an issue of semantics. I heard one preacher say, we don't ever fall out of fellowship with God. God doesn't leave us. We will sometimes turn our back on Him. But really what John, the Apostle John, is getting at the heart of in this passage is not necessarily fellowship if you're a Christian, but your joy. Your joy is at risk. Because God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We will never lose our salvation as long as we're in Christ. Says nothing can separate us from the love of God, but our joy can be assaulted when we let sin creep in. Sin will kill your joy. And for the unbeliever, They have no sensibility to this. It doesn't bother them. So I want to ask, I know most of you, I've known you pretty much my whole time since I started coming here as a little boy, but I want to ask, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, talk with me. Talk with someone that you trust in the Lord, and we'd be delighted to tell you how you can be forgiven of sin and cleansed from unrighteousness and born again into an eternal relationship with Almighty God.